Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson is a multifaceted guitar shop offering guitar instruction, new and used guitars and amplifiers, and all accessories. Instead of experiencing the total hassle of a big box store or a snarky boutique, take the scenic drive to Fort Atkinson and experience what total customer satisfaction is all about. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic. We love guitars.
Welcome to another edition of Sly'sOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at the United Steelworkers, Madison Teachers Incorporated, Madison Teamsters Local 695, and Madison Firefighters Local 311. Joining us now, our comrade from Milwaukee, Robert Craig from Citizen Action of Wisconsin, a group that has really, really done a great job of keeping the focus on people's health care for quite a few years now. It's got to be edifying for you, Mr. Craig, that healthcare has become such a positive issue when it comes to making sure that people are taken care of in this election.
No, absolutely, and it's what we need in order to take the next big steps towards actually guaranteeing healthcare as a fundamental human right, which is something most Americans and most Wisconsinites support. And it's been a long time. We've been working on it for a long time, Sly, as you know, but we're not, I mean, Citizen Action, our members across the state, we're not, no one alone is responsible for any kind of movement like this. And we know darn well that what Trump and the Republicans tried to do in 2017 gave us a huge boost and really created this as a positive issue. And what's fascinating, Sly, also is how pre-existing conditions has become the core of it. And it's the core, I think, because there's an emotional, moral edge to it, which kind of, in my opinion, stands in for the rest, for the whole problem with our healthcare system and the whole problem with the conservative approach to it, the approach of a Scott Walker, Lee Vukmir, Donald Trump. We were trying to make it a big issue in doing campaign mail on it back to 2012. So it's when Democratic establishment and consultants weren't doing it at all. Now it's on every ad. And if you know, it's gone so far, we have Leah Vukmir, Scott Walker, even Glenn Grossman pledging they'll take care of people with pre-existing conditions. It's a lie, but when they completely give in and capitulate on the issue, it tells you that we're winning. We can't let them get away with a bait and switch, Sly, where anyone believes for a second that Glenn Grossman will lift a finger to protect anyone with pre-existing conditions.
Rebecca Clayfish was on Up Front with Mike Goucher the other day. Here's what Rebecca Clayfish had to say.
When suing, if Obamacare ends, how will people with pre-existing conditions in Wisconsin be protected?
By state law. One of the misconceptions we have, I think, in this election cycle is that you need federal law to protect people with pre-existing conditions. People like me, you already said that I'm a colon cancer survivor. You don't need federal law. You can do that with state law like ours, the one that the governor already proposed back in January and was already passed by the assembly. Basically, it says if you're a health insurance company and you want to do business here in the state of Wisconsin, you have to cover people with pre-existing conditions, and you're not allowed to charge us more.
Okay. The Senate hasn't passed it yet.
Not yet.
So it's not law yet.
Not yet.
Correct. The assembly bill, would insurance companies have to cover prescription drugs, for instance?
I would have to look at the bill language that is going to be passed. The governor will call an extraordinary session. He already said that. And I can't guarantee that what the Senate will pass and the Assembly will pass when he calls the extra session is going to be identical. But those two components, the fact that they have to cover people like me with pre-existing conditions and they're not allowed to charge us more, those are the main components.
Yeah, you were on Twitter.
All right. Your reaction to that?
This is what we're seeing, and we're seeing it across the country. Republican candidates just lying about the issue because they got nothing else.
Now, Robert, lying is a strong word.
Well, it's PolitiFact going to tell. PolitiFact can go ahead and PolitiFact me on this. but quite frankly, there is such a thing as a lie. It's overused in political discourse. But this is a situation where I think it's warranted. And I know you're saying that with some sarcasm in your voice, Fly. But just to be clear, here's if we want to dig into the policy, here's the problem. Of course, Walker's had 8 years to outlaw discrimination against pre-existing conditions and hasn't done it. He this late saint that he supported a bill that passed the assembly. we just look at that bill, and that's all they have to hang the hat on in this state, it says that you can still charge anything you want if there's any gap in coverage. So an insurance company, of course, if you get cancer or some other dread disease, you're very much likely to lose your job and therefore have a gap in coverage. And then if they can charge whatever they want, they can deny you coverage. But in addition to that, as Mike Gushay, who's not usually a very incisive questioner when it comes to policy questions like this, when he asked his drugs covered, what he was getting at is the reforms that Walker and Clayfish want would allow insurance companies to sell junk insurance plans. And so even if they... So protecting people with pre-existing conditions doesn't protect them if the insurance company cannot cover any of the cost of treatment by gaming the plan in such a way they have to pay for expensive treatments for chronic diseases or for serious diseases like cancer, or don't have to pay for prescription drugs that are necessary for treatment, for example. So protecting people from pre-existing conditions is a lot more than just having a prohibition against denial of coverage, though they haven't even done that, quite frankly. It's about guaranteeing everyone has access to high-quality, affordable health care no matter what, and Republicans can never provide that because they don't believe in it. So that's why they're lying on this issue. They're not interested in protecting people over pre-existing conditions or preventing discrimination, because that would require a total revolution in their whole view of government and what it should do in our society.
I've heard some conservative talk show hosts in the state say, look, before the Affordable Care Act, everything was just fine. Wisconsin was taking care of people with pre-existing conditions.
And Leah Vuclear said that in her first debate with Tammy Baldwin, and said that it was all a made-up scandal by liberals. I assume, like you and me, Sly, just made all this up. It's amazing. She said, we heard Clayfish say with Gushay that we don't need federal law. Well, how come pre-existing condition discrimination was legal in most states until we had the Affordable Care Act, if it's such a simple matter, and legal in Wisconsin? We had something called a high-risk pool. Very few people were in it because it was very expensive. There was a six-month waiting period, not much luck if you have a terminal, very serious life-threatening cancer if you wait 6 months. There were limits on coverage, so there were annual and lifetime limits, so you could just run out of your coverage when you had a serious disease. And it was substandard care in a lot of different ways. They could carve out your pre-existing condition. We have a lot of members across the state that we know, or people we work with across the state, who literally were able to get coverage to cover everything but the condition that made them uninsurable by the insurance industry. So that's the whole utopia we had before the passage of the Affordable Care Act. I think people know that. And I think that I don't think even Rebecca Clayfish sounded credible to anyone but their hardcore base. I don't think any independent caring about health care would have found those to be credible answers.
There's a lot of TV ads running right now on this issue. Here is one that Democrats are running against Leah Vuclear. This is a Tammy Baldwin ad.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, and I approve this message.
Why would Leah Vuclear be one of the only legislators to vote against hearing aids for children?
Why?
Why?
Why would Leah Vuclear want to get rid of coverage for pre-existing conditions?
Why would she block heart screenings for newborns?
Why? Why would Leah Vuclear be the only one to oppose Alzheimer's research?
Why would she vote over and over against mental health coverage?
Why?
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 It's clear Leah Vuclear has been working for the insurance companies, not for us.
So let me ask you this. The ad that's running against Vuclear there, all the things you say about that are being said about Leah Vuclear, couldn't most of them be said about Scott Walker as well?
Oh, absolutely. And there are actually a lot of the ads up against Scott Walker are very effective as well on this, and tie it back into, I think, very effectively that Scott Walker is mostly just in himself, his political career, and not in governing, which I think is the right message to say about Walker.
Yeah, let's play.
Any Republican, yeah.
Let's play that ad.
If he really wanted to help her, or him, or them, Scott Walker would have never come up with a plan for healthcare that ends protections for anyone who's ever been sick before. Under Walker's plan, as long as the insurance company can call it a pre-existing condition, they can drop you right when you need them the most. And that's what happens when you have a governor who puts his political ambitions ahead of everything else, including her, him, and you.
So, this is an issue that Republicans were on the offense in 2010 and 2014. The one thing that hasn't changed throughout this whole time period when insurance companies started demutualizing and putting more money in the stockholders' pockets than patient care. This has been going on a long time. Why is it that health care was such a negative issue for Democrats in 2010 and 2014, but such a positive issue in 2018?
It's a fascinating thing. In fact, I've looked at health care public opinion and messaging for a long time. And we've known this for a while, that once you put a reform plan in front of people, have a debate over it, and put it into effect, it becomes the focus. So the Affordable Care Act became the focus, Sly, and all of its faults, because it didn't go far enough. It had problems, and the problems couldn't be fixed because Republicans wouldn't let Obama fix it. He would have fixed a lot of things, quirks in the plan, because it's a big, complicated plan. And so they were very effectively, because health care is an issue where people have a lot of conflicted views, able to make everything about what was not good about the Affordable Care Act or what didn't go far enough. So the debate was, is it affordable enough, as opposed to, my goodness, it's way more affordable than it was before. But as soon as conservatives tried to take it away, it flipped everything. And they were dismayed in polling they were seeing in February, by February, March 2017, that the voters were no longer blaming things on the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare, but on them, and that they own the health care system. But they're so doctrinaire, and they hold power so ruthlessly, they push forward anyway. And they weren't able to succeed because of John McCain, but beyond that, they were able to succeed in completely turning the health care issue. Now, what that also means is that if we win this election in 2018, and I saw Tammy Baldwin on Sunday at a small house party. She's never been more excited about what they can do to advance real health care reform if we win this election. And then if we elect the Democrat president and make another run at building on the
Affordable Care
Act 2021.
Now, Robert, this week, Leah Vukmir has had Eric Trump and Kellyanne Conway come into the state. So let's just hold the horses here on a Baldwin victory. I mean, don't you think that's going to turn the tide?
Probably not, but I take your point. I don't want to knock on wood on the victory. I don't want to jinx it, but I'm just to complete the thought.
I mean, Kellyanne Conway's, that's pretty potent stuff.
Well, I guess I'm potent in a certain way. So can we get Sarah Huckabee Sanders in? That would
That would be the coup de grace. All right, sorry. Go ahead.
So all I want to say is that literally when we take the next big step in reform, because we need to get towards Medicare for All, Sly, that'll become the focus again. So it's not like we've permanently won the healthcare debate, but we've certainly demonstrated that the right-wing approach is discredited. And I will give a lot of credit to the Democratic consultants and the people who make these ads. They're doing an excellent job on this issue, and they weren't before because we were too defensive, but now they're understanding the moral emotional core of it, which is the very idea that conservatives want to let insurance companies take health care away from you for profit, period, and that there's one side that's on the side of average people who need access to life-saving health care, and there's Leah Vukmir and Scott Walker, etc.
It may be the reason that Joe Donnelly survives in Indiana, in that his opponent is, and that's a conservative state, and Mike Pence is pumping millions of dollars in against Donnelly, but Joe Donnelly's opponent is an employer. He's got such terrible coverage for his employees, they have to pay $10,000 out of pocket before a penny of their health care coverage kicks in. You know, that's just endemic of the problem.
And Leah Vukmir believes in that deeply. I had a huge debate with her over the pages of her Journal Sentinel blog when they temporarily gave her a Journal Sentinel blog. She thought if we had high deductible health plans, then that would bring the cost of health care down because people would have skin in the game and armies of consumers would cause hospitals and doctors and pharmaceutical companies to charge less. We know darn well what happens when you're on your own with those big entities. You lose. You have no recourse. You either, and so, and in a few period. And so they believe this stuff, but it's like, it's sort of fairy tale stuff because they won't come to grips with the fact, the fundamental fact, that the only way to guarantee health care to everyone is to use the power of our democracy to do it. The market has no interest in doing it. Wall Street is interested in maximum profit in the short-term period, and insuring sick people is not part of that. Charging cancer patients $1,000 a pill, definitely part of that that financial speculation. In fact, they live on it.
We'll talk more with Robert Craig, Citizen Action of Wisconsin, at sliceoffice.com. Hang on.
Injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh.
John and I approach personal injury cases in the same way. We want to be certain that our clients are treated fairly, that our clients are comfortable, that our clients know they can trust us to get the best result for them.
It's our professional responsibility to make certain you are fairly and fully compensated. Most of our cases are settled without a trial.
Call injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh at 257-5661 for the personal attention you deserve.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
We're back with Robert Craig, Citizen Action Wisconsin, brought to you by our Sly's office, brought to you by the United Steelworkers, also Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson, and our friends at Madison Computer Works. All right, so Scott Walker was on with Mike Gushay a couple weeks ago, and here's what he had to say about health care.
So all these groups coming in from Washington and elsewhere attack is prime example. There's an ad out there that mistakenly points out a premise to suggest that somehow we're against covering pre-existing conditions. That's absolutely false. It's a very personal issue to me.
You're suing to end Obamacare,
right, and the difference,
which would possibly end pre-existing condition coverage.
The key is there's possibly federally, but in the state, as long as I'm governor, I'll always be covered. My wife's a type 1 diabetic. My parents are both cancer survivors. My brother has a heart condition. It's not only personal for me, it's just the right thing to do, and it's why I point out today when an ad like that comes out that somehow makes it seem like that wouldn't be the case. Today in the state of Wisconsin, everyone living with a pre-existing condition is covered. As long as I'm governor, there always will be. The bigger issue that you allude to, Obamacare, that's the real issue. I mentioned Christine, a woman that I've talked to from northeastern Wisconsin up in Brown County. She saw this year under the Obamacare exchanges, her premiums have gone up by almost $2,000 a month. That is unsustainable and unacceptable. Statewide, on the individual market, it went up about 44%. We took action on that issue. We went out, worked with Democrats and Republicans, passed our health care stability plan, and the federal administration just signed off on it. So we'll see. Our plan will bring lower premiums, better choices, particularly in rural areas, and better health care.
So you think it was a good move to sue and to pursue legal action against Obamacare, to say it's unconstitutional?
Well, I think Obamacare is a big mess. Whether they change it, we waited for Washington to change it, they failed. And so we took action, not only in the courts, but we're now taking action. This is something, it's not a proposal, it's not a plan. This is something that will happen starting January 1st. We got approval to do that. I signed it. My opponent, Tony Evers, wants to do the opposite. His claim is he wants to take the Medicaid expansion under Obamacare. In states like Minnesota and others, when they've done that, premiums actually went up. In Minnesota, they only went down this year after they did something almost identical to our plan, to what we call the Health Care Stability Act.
One final question about the...
All right. Your reaction to that. By the way, this was obviously recorded before his father passed away, and we give our condolences on that. But to the other points that he was making in that interview...
I don't know. We'd need five podcasts to unpack all the flim-flam in that answer, Sly. It's unbelievable. I mean, it really is. So he starts out by saying that it's unfair to accuse him of for taking coverage away from people with pre-existing conditions. The man has been for the unconditional repeal of the Affordable Care Act all along and ran on it for president and ran a presidential health plan that would have taken away care from people with pre-existing conditions. He's had 8 years. He's passed nothing on it at the state level whatsoever. The bill he says would correct it wouldn't. It actually allows pre-existing condition discrimination, so that's a lie. And you go back and forth. I mean, he authorized a lawsuit that Schimmel and Wisconsin are the second state in on. Texas started it, which would say the federal government lacks the power to regulate pre-existing condition discrimination, or even what's in health insurance policies. So if they prevail with Justice Kavanaugh providing a deciding vote, that's kind of scary, which they could do in this session, it'll be because of Scott Walker but he wants to campaign on the fact that he would never allow anyone with pre-existing conditions to face discrimination because his wife's a diabetic, et cetera, et cetera. I'm sure he won't let her be without insurance, but that's a very different matter. He then goes after Minnesota.
Well, right? I have a feeling he's going to be on the open market looking for insurance very soon.
I think that, you know, a Koch brother group with a nice health insurance plan may pick him up right away. But we did a report that we released this week that shows that Minnesota, which has embraced the Affordable Care Act, take the Medicaid expansion and gone beyond the Medicaid expansion to cover people up to the way Wisconsin did, up to 200% of poverty for their Medicaid program, like we used to do for Badger Care under Doyle, that their premiums are 50% lower than ours. That's the latest numbers, 2019 rates. So you have a direct comparison. In the debate, Walker said that things would be terrible if we adopted Tony Evers' health care plans because it would be like Minnesota. Well, the average person would save $3,700 a year who buys insurance on their own without tax credits if we lived in Minnesota rather than Wisconsin. The other thing, of course, is that he's done nothing to move forward on health care. The entirety of his health care position has been to attack and undermine and sabotage the Affordable Care Act. He only likes the good features, so when he makes that, uses that talking point, or he likes it, but he doesn't, when he uses that talking point that people will be covered with pre-existing conditions, they have been through his governorship, and they always will be, that's because of Obamacare, not because of anything Walker did. He wants to repeal it, and he wants to take credit for it, right? But if you look at also moving forward, he has refused and prevented the reform proposal we've been pushing at Citizen Action, opening up Badger Care to everyone to buy into a Badger Care public option. Our report this week showed that there are families of four across the state, in a number of regions of the state, that would save $24,000 a year if they could buy into Badger Care rather than having to buy overpriced corporate insurance. And Walker stands in the way of that. Tony Evers and the Democrats support it.
So let's talk about the public option. This is something that should have been part of the Affordable Care Act. Where would we be right now if that had been part of the Affordable Care Act passed in 2010?
You see, it depends on what kind of public option. It was, they were watering it down at the end to try to get Joe Lieberman's vote.
Well, let's just say, say Robert Craig had been the senator from Nebraska rather than Ben Nelson. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you get my picture.
I'm from Nebraska. I'm trying to imagine that. Okay.
Are you really from Nebraska?
No, I'm just trying to get myself in the right metal.
You're getting in your Cornhusker mode. All right. Had we had a good public option, where would we be?
I can tell you this because we'd probably be in much better shape if it had been defended and not destroyed, and who knows what Trump would have done to it, but we've run the numbers on what happens if we use Badger Care as a public option. And it literally, for the average individual buying insurance, just talking about the premiums and deductibles, it's almost 40% cheaper. It's $3,800 a year, even more, even cheaper than that in some higher cost regions of the state. And the reason for that is because Badger Care uses its negotiating power and in terms of things like prescription drugs, and it sets the price at a reasonable price. So you don't get all, and it doesn't have all the profit of for-profit insurance. And so there's absolutely no question it's a much more efficient route to go. And the reason for starting with a public option is people like the idea of choosing, I think, eventually, so people can choose Humana and United Healthcare and Blue Cross if they want, but then they'll pay more for that, for a much narrower network, and way higher deductibles, just for example. But over time, what I think this means, Sly, is I've always seen public option not as the panacea, but as the step towards Medicare for all. I think we only guarantee health care as a human right if we have a public system, and we have to do that in stages. It's not going to be feasible to all of a sudden take 150 million people who are on their employer-based insurance and suddenly put them on a Medicare-like system and achieve that politically in this country, but you could do it in stages. So you should open up Badger Care, you should open up Medicare under the next progressive president, And then you should build on that system until you have a Medicare for all, basically, which is ultimately where we need to go as a country.
How concerned are you that if Republicans were to control all three federal branches, as they do now, how concerned are you that Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security will be under attack?
Well, very, because despite the fact that they would seem to be political third rails, it became clear that repealing the Affordable Care Act was, and they pursued it anyway. But the big tax giveaway, which is the Trump tax plan, which gave away permanent huge corporate tax breaks and temporary tax breaks that were tilted against average people in terms of into wealthier people, they've now used the record deficits being run up during a good economic times. I mean, there's no justification for this, as an excuse that we need to go back and look at these quote-unquote entitlements. And they just can't help themselves. They're going to they're literally trying to bankrupt the system because they're against Social Security and Medicare. I mean, Paul Ryan is fundamentally opposed to them, even though he himself is a young person, his family supported by SSI, part of Social Security. And so I think we should be very concerned because the long-term right-wing conspiracy is to make it impossible for the country to afford those great advances of the mid-20th century, let alone move beyond them to the next big advance we need to make in the 21st century. So I'm very concerned, Sly. I don't know about you.
Well, as someone who's 57, I'd say, yeah, I'm concerned. Even if I wasn't 57, I'd be concerned. Yes, obviously. You know, I'm not that many years from retirement anymore, and I am concerned. It's not something that it's not something I paid into my whole life and will gladly pay for others. I mean, this is generations are supposed to help each other, that suddenly we start having this nihilism where it's survival of the fittest. I don't think that's a good idea. I also am just, I'm shocked at the ads that are being run in this part of the state against Chris Marion, who's running for the state Senate in Southwest Wisconsin and Central Wisconsin, attacking her for the position the National Farmers Union has on single-payer health care. They're acting like she's a communist.
Yeah, I've heard that, and we're actually doing some digital ads issue advocacy ads about Howard Markline, the incumbent's position on pre-existing conditions, where of course he with the other Senate Republicans voted against a Democratic amendment that would have done what Walker says he wants to do, that is outlaw pre-existing condition discrimination in Wisconsin in state law. So they really seem to be extremely worried about that race. I've heard they spent over $800,000 to try to reinforce Markline, who is an empty suit who just votes with them. He may be from the area, but he's not representing the area. So I really hope, it's interesting. I think the right-wing establishment is entirely overstating the old scary thing that Ronald Reagan used to do ads against when he did ads saying that Medicare would lead to socialized medicine, which would be the end of American freedom. I think it's lost all of its power. It's like calling someone a socialist. It has no zing anymore, but far right still thinks it's powerful for some reason.
Stay on the line for just a sec. Robert Craig from Citizen Action. Thanks for coming to SliesOffice.com.
SliesOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Making stuff matters, because when we make things in America, America makes it. American workers and families make it. Our communities make it. Consider this. For every one manufacturing job in our communities, five more jobs are supported. Manufacturing jobs pay an average of 10 to 50% more than service sector jobs. That allows working families to support their local businesses, schools, emergency services, and more. Creating 2.5 million new manufacturing jobs would mean at least $100 billion for our economy over the next decade. Domestic manufacturing is the green economy. It's among the cleanest, most efficient, and productive in the world. That's why the United Steelworkers and our more than 1 million members and retirees are fighting so hard to protect and grow manufacturing. Because making stuff really does matter. Join our fight. Visit usw.org and like us at facebook.com/steelworkers. Support American manufacturing. Buy American. Buy Union.